Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Amaral Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that is capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that's just right for you. And today's guest is our good friend, David Frood, author of The Thinking Corporation and Steps to Becoming a Thinking Corporation. He is an authority on corporate innovation through implementing employee-generated ideas after studying this topic as a corporate consultant over the past 20 years. So welcome, David.
Thank you, Stacey. It's nice to be back.
And it's nice to have you back. Now, let's talk about the importance of the culture of an organization for generating ideas from employees. How important is it?
It's real important, Stacey, because there are only really two major contributing factors. One, of course, we're talking about is the culture, and the other is the process, which we're not talking about today. So culture is really important. But then there becomes a question is like, what is culture? People have got different ideas of what culture is. And really, it's the behavior of humans who are part of an organization. And it can include things like the organization values, the language that people use while they're at work, some of the symbols that they might use, the beliefs and the habits. And it can go back sometimes to, you know, the founding days. For example, there can be an organization that has a sales meeting at 4:30 every Friday afternoon is part of their culture. And the salespeople can be coming in from all over the place, all their territories, and thinking to themselves, why on earth are we doing this? Whereas the founder, maybe two generations ago, was out on the road taking all their orders. And the only time they had to get into the office and write up on their all their orders might have been at the end of the week. And so now this organization has a culture of having a sales meeting at 4:30 every Friday afternoon. So it's a really important thing. And if you can picture, your listeners can picture a continuum which has got down one end, down the left-hand side, the words, I wouldn't tell this organization anything, to right up on the right-hand side, I'm happy to tell this company my ideas. That's how important the culture is. People have to feel comfortable in an organization. They have to be happy to go in and out of that place every day before they'll part with their own valuable ideas.
David, speaking about feeling, most of us would know what it feels like to work in a great workplace culture, but what are the factors that go into actually making it great?
Yeah, right, Stacey. You do know what it feels like to work in a great place. You can look back and say, that was a really good place to be, or where you are now is a fantastic place to be. The question is why? You know, what makes it great? And during all those years of observing great cultures that we talked about before, I noticed a few things that I call positive culture builders. And some of those things are where the organization has a constant personal development program for everybody. And that tells the employees that, you know, you're valuable to us and we're happy to spend money on developing you. And if you think about that, because you've got ongoing training and development, you're also changing the way we do things around here. You're changing the culture by getting people together and training them. Other things or other factors include a consultative management approach where the management actually goes and asks people what they think. You know, it sounds simple, but it doesn't exist in every organization and it doesn't exist as a constant in every organization. Things like recognition and reward, even and geared to the contribution and even to the point of having some sort of recognition events where people receive awards and down to daily telling people that they're doing a good job. The level of communication needs to be nice and open so that people feel comfortable to go up and talk to anybody about what they think could be done better, improved on, or differently. And As individuals, we all want to advance in life. So there has to be some opportunity for people to get on in the organization or feel as though they're getting on, because we all want to do that. We all want to advance. So they're the positive culture builders, but the organization's responsibility is to keep improving the culture and to find a way to perpetuate it, but find a way to keep it good.
And David, so if this organization or any organization isn't happy with its culture, how long does it take to change it? And then where do they start?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I've rarely ever seen a culture change from one that really doesn't work all that well to one that does inside around about 18 months. You know, it takes quite a while. And it's a very conscious effort to improve the culture. But when you do start to do something about the culture, people see that and they start to trust it more. And especially if an organization actually starts with some of the bigger issues, some of the most important things, and works on those first, then people start to develop a trust in the culture. And that in itself is a good thing. That changes it inside the 18 months. But certainly I've never seen anything change to be a really good culture, anything less than 18 months to 2 years.
And do you think that the most popular way to go about changing a culture is from the top down, or do you think it's from the bottom up?
It's very, very important that any changes get supported from the top down, because inside an organization, if people don't see that the CEO or the senior managers are supporting a change, then they don't think it's important, so they don't kind of go along with it. So, but changing a culture is about, like, knowing where you are now. It's like having the children in the car and the old story of, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And mm-hmm. So there needs to be a way, you can identify with that, Stacey. There needs to be a way that you can actually pinpoint, where are we? And of course, now we've got the satellite navigation systems, and it's easy to say, well, you know, we've got 230 kilometers to go, and that's going to take us X amount of time. And so we can tell them how long it's going to be. And there are tools in businesses as well now that will tell you what's the culture look like compared to what you would like it to look like. What are the major factors that we need to work on? And how long is it likely to take us to do that? So there are tools that businesses can use.
Well, David, we could talk to you all day. Number one, for your accent, of course. And number two, for your great information. We always enjoy talking to you. And I just want to remind our listeners that David's book, Steps to Becoming a Thinking Corporation, is available from barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com as well. And the Thinking Corporation also conducts online culture surveys with employees. So if you are interested, send an email to david@thethinkingcorporation.com and request a brochure. And of course, you can find out all about the Thinking Corporation at thethinkingcorporation.com. Thanks again, David. We always appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, Stacey. Bye for now.
And this podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm Annie Jennings PR, the creator of JenningsWire Online Magazine. JenningsWire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit JenningsWire.com and discover the blogger just right for you. Till next time.